For months, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said there is no way he would run for the 2012 Republican presidential nomination. He reconsidered after pleas from the Republican establishment and influential donors. With deadlines approaching today in Trenton, Governor Christie made it official.
So this is not the time to leave unfinished business for me. The stakes are too high and the consequences are too real. So, New Jersey, whether you like it or not, you're stuck with me.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie at a news conference last hour in Trenton. How does Christie's announcement change the race for the 2012 Republican nomination? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Political junkie Ken Rudin jumps the gun by a day to join us here in Studio 3A. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil.
And the worst-kept secret in Trenton today.
Well, the thing is, he's been saying for a year. I mean, you could quote every press conference he's had in the past year. Everybody said, are you changing your mind? I am not running. I am not ready to be president. I would commit suicide to show you that I'm not going to run for president. And so we all seem to be so amazed that here's a politician who kept his word. Because, you know, but what's interesting about it, you watch him for 50 minutes in his press conference. He was asked the same question in so many different ways, and he answered it in so many different ways. But, you know, he's entertaining, he's infuriating, he's charming, he's a wise guy, he's a New Jersey kind of guy who,
yeah,
just, you know, those kind of guys. And I think both people are not especially happy with the state of the Republican field. They think that Mitt Romney is not sufficiently conservative, if not a true believer. And we've seen from three successive debates that that Rick Perry may have some problems as well, being very uneven as a debater. And of course, there are other controversies that come around about Perry in the last couple of days. So more and more people seem to be searching for new people. And Chris Christie was the guy they were looking for.
And he said at his news conference that he'd been approached by very serious people who pleaded with him to enter the race. They said, we need you now. He said he got not just those kinds of Republican Party bigwigs, but a FedEx letter that he got from somebody in Nebraska sent to his children saying, if you can convince your dad to run, you'll go down in history as the people who changed the course of the country.
It's remarkable. We always want these candidates who don't want to run, and then once they do run, we say, what a disappointment. The conservatives were begging Rick Perry to run. They thought he would be the perfect antidote to Mitt Romney's moderation or centristism, whatever that was, and he turned out to be a bust. Fred Thompson in 2008, if only he would run, he would save the Republican Party, and his good numbers lasted until the day he announced for president.
Well, we'd like to hear from those of you who want to know how this changes the Republican presidential nomination for president. And if you were following Chris Christie, if you're familiar with him and wanted him to come into the race, give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Chris Christie, of course, just elected. He's still in his first term as the Republican governor of New Jersey, and was thought to be attractive because, despite his sometimes abrasive personality, he's a Jersey guy, he managed to get some things through a Democratic legislature.
Well, he did, but I think what they really liked, what the conservatives and the Republicans really liked about him, is that he stood up to the unions. He talked tough to the unions. He balanced the budget. He didn't raise taxes. But if you look at his record, whether it's conservative or not, I mean, of course, when you're running for governor in New Jersey, you have to be in favor of gun control. You should be, you know, talking about things that some moderate Republicans talk about. So that's good positions when you're running in New Jersey. But nationally, if Rick Perry is insufficiently conservative now because of positions
he had
on immigration, yeah, I mean, what Chris Christie would have gone through. But there were a lot of big money people who are not happy with the field. Now, a lot of these things who wanted him to run, a lot of these people wanted Rudy Giuliani to run, and we remember how well Rudy Giuliani did 4 years ago.
Yet, just a couple of weeks ago, reports of a Giuliani senior operative up in New Hampshire, of all places. Again, there's still talk that he might reconsider.
Yes, he and the George Pataki people will meet in a phone booth in Manchester to decide whether they're running or not.
Well, there is one person who would have to have a meeting of her supporters in a very large room, and that would be Sarah Palin, who has yet to decide or announce whether she is going to run or not.
True, but although last week she did say she thought that the presidency might shackle her, I guess just the way the governorship of Alaska shackled her. But, I mean, she could be much more influential, and she would be much more influential as a non-candidate. She likes the tease. She likes the attention. I can't see that make her running, getting into the race at all.
Yet, interestingly, there was a poll put out today by the Washington Post that included both questions about if Sarah Palin comes in, if Chris Christie comes in, and neither one shot to the top of the charts.
No, but who is shooting to the top of the charts, at least according to today's Washington Post, New York, ABC News poll, is Herman Cain. That while Mitt Romney has 25% of the support of Republicans, Herman Cain has tied Rick Perry with, I think, 19% in second place. That's remarkable. 16%. And that's pretty remarkable because basically he's giving a good speech. He won the Florida straw poll. But other than that, he has no experience, never attained high office before. It's just the flavor of the month.
Interestingly, Mitt Romney has the same 25% in the poll that he had last time. It is Rick Perry supporters who have gone to Herman Cain. They are tied, as you said, for second. Ron Paul in fourth place. And then I guess the rest of them are also Rands. Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Paul's on the line from Wilmington in North Carolina.
Yes, I was just hoping that Chrissy would come into the race. Down here in North Carolina, I don't know a lot about him, but I do like what I hear so far with him on television. He seems like he's doing a great job for New Jersey, saves them really a lot of money. Not really sure if the candidates we have right now are really going to beat Obama come next year. I know Obama's having a lot of trouble, but I still think they're going to have a tough time against him.
And Ken Rudin, that same conclusion. A lot of Republicans think this is a now wonderful opportunity to defeat a sitting president. Do we have the right candidate?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, perhaps 2 months ago, they thought the consensus was that President Obama does have difficulties, but he should sail to reelection. Now most people are not sure about that with the no change in the unemployment rate, the number of people looking for work, the state of the economy, things like that. So they want to be very sure. And the fact, Neil, you make a good point, that through all this thing, Mitt Romney's numbers have not moved at all. So this suiting of Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry and Chris Christie may be because they're just not happy with Mitt Romney as the standard bearer. And yet, he still does better against President Obama than any other Republican.
Paul, thanks very much for the call. Let's see if we go next to, this is Reed, and Reed's with us from Medan, is that right, in North Carolina?
That's Medan.
Medan, go ahead.
North Carolina.
Go ahead, please.
Right, thank you. I was just curious as to whether you and Ken might comment on whether Christie's decision might have to do with his just desire to avoid the intense media scrutiny. I think Rick Perry has learned this lesson very quickly, and it's always occurred to me that Jeb Bush, if he were to step in right now, would go right to the top of the charts, but I don't think Jeb has any interest in it because he doesn't want to subject himself to that.
He may not also think it's long enough between Bushes, but Ken.
That's what I really think. I mean, there's a lot of speculation that Jeb Bush is looking at 2016, that 2012 would be too soon for a Bush candidacy, but I don't think Chris Christie's ever been afraid of media scrutiny. I mean, as U.S. attorney before he was governor, his life is an open book. I really think that with South Carolina, first Florida, then South Carolina moving up their primaries to late January, that means Iowa is going to be January 2nd, New Hampshire is going to be January 10th. You have to have, that'll give you 3 months to raise tons of money, establish organizations in all those states, and no candidate has ever been able to do it.
Well, Reed, thanks very much for the phone call. Let's see if we go next to, this is Nikki. Nikki calling from St. Louis.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I don't have a strong opinion either way on any of the Republican candidates yet, and or Christie, but I was thinking there's so much audio on him saying, there's no way I'm running, don't worry, I'm not running, blah, blah, blah. So he can't really go back on that. But why doesn't he run as a vice presidential candidate with Romney or one of the front runners to boost up that person? And that would be the perfect solution.
He was asked about that at the news conference earlier today and said, I don't think there's anybody on the planet who knows my personality who thinks I would be a good number two.
That's true. And he did say that and everybody laughed. But you know that everybody always says that they don't have any interest in the vice presidency. John Edwards said it over and over again. And ultimately, they will take it if they're asked.
All right. Well, thanks.
Nikki, thanks very much. And New Jersey, there's been talk of various people as possible vice presidential candidates. Marco Rubio in Florida, an important swing state. Senator Portman in Ohio, an important swing state. New Jersey would be a plum if a Republican presidential candidate could pick that up.
Right, and I don't believe that's happened since George H.W. Bush won it in 1988, and I believe that's the last time a Republican took New Jersey. But Chris Christie, this is not a pun here, but he is larger than life. He would overwhelm the ticket because he's just so outspoken. And sometimes you just like, you know, in the old days, you would just want a running mate to just bash the opponents. But Chris Christie will not be limited to any role like that.
He did not rule out any run in the future. He said, we've got important work to do here in New Jersey. I love my job. I love my state. I'm going to stay and do the job the people elected me to do. But might he have missed his moment? I mean, for example, he might be thinking about 2016, too. But in between now and then, he faces what could be a very difficult reelection.
He does, and he's up for reelection in 2013. For all the Republicans who love Chris Christie, the Democrats do not love him. They feel he's a bully. They feel he's, you know, he just runs roughshod over the opposition, and he's not, you know, a likable kind of governor. And so, yes, he has a tough race in 2013, but he may do what Mitt Romney decided to do. When Mitt Romney was elected governor in 2002, knowing he wanted to run for president, he decided not to run for reelection in 2006, focus on the presidency. Chris Christie could do the same thing.
Especially if Cory Booker, the current mayor of Newark, gets into the race on the Democratic side.
Right.
So when did you change Political Junkie from Wednesday to Tuesday? When Governor Christie scheduled his news conference for 1 o'clock this afternoon Eastern Time, we'll be talking more about this tomorrow on the Political Junkie with Ken Rudin. So don't worry, he's not being preempted this week. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller in. Let's go to Ben. Ben's on the line from Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Well, there seems to be a huge disconnect from practical reality among conservative Republicans. And I think that the debt battle is a good example of that. But there are lots of other examples. And now here again, we see that no candidate lives up to the perfect ideal. I'm just wondering if there's something about the conservative ideology that makes them prone to this kind of disappointment with whatever candidate they get. Could you comment on that?
Well, that's a good point, because when they were not too happy about the prospect of a Mitt Romney candidacy, and Rick Perry, by all accounts, was a true believer conservative. He was, you know, he was a Tea Partier before they were a Tea Partier. He got tremendous conservative support in Texas, running against a Tea Party candidate, and yet when he talked about the children of illegal immigrants getting in-state tuition in Texas.
And the mandatory HPV virus.
And that as well. The right wing of the party, the conservatives, said that, you know, this guy is not a true believer. He's not really one of us. There is a litmus test that I don't think we've seen in the Republican Party, really going back to 1964 and Barry Goldwater, and even more than that, because by all accounts, Rick Perry and Mitt Romney, for that matter, are conservatives. But for some people, that's not enough.
Yeah, it's really at odds with the way they are so supportive of the business community. I mean, business people, my dad was a businessman, and he was a very practical person. He had to get things done. And so the whole free market, you know, business orientation, good government, efficiency, it just doesn't seem to square with the idealism that is so disconnected from practical reality.
Well, we've also had commentary that it turns out the political left can't find a president from the Democratic Party that they've liked, possibly since Franklin Roosevelt. So there's that side of it, too. It maybe have to do with people who have a very firm ideological basis for their beliefs. But Ben, thanks very much for the call.
Although that's interesting, Neil, because, you know, given what's going on with the economy and given with Obama's numbers, the left is still not talking about a challenge to President Obama in the 2012
except
primaries.
Except for Ralph Nader.
Well, except for Ralph Nader and perhaps Dennis Kucinich. But for the most part, the progressive wing of the party is sticking with the president, and that's interesting.
Ken Rudin, our political junkie, will be back with us again tomorrow in this hour on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Ken, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.